On the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb was sacrificed, the disciples said to Jesus, "Where do you want us to go and make the preparations so that you can eat the Passover?" The very opening lines of our gospel this morning set the scene, as it were, of a way that we need to come to terms with if we are to understand and appreciate the fullness of the Eucharist. The opening line is rich in these terms from Jewish practice, from the Old Testament. And unless we grasp the Old Testament roots, unless we understand what the Passover was about, unless we know what it means to sacrifice, we will never really understand the immense gift of the Eucharist. And across the history of the Church, as Ronald Knox pointed out, you know, when we've just willy-nilly broken almost every other covenant, when we've broken every commandment of the Lord, when we haven't understood what it means to truly love our enemies, to forgive our neighbours, to walk a mile in someone else's shoes, what it means to give freely of ourselves. But across the centuries, saints and sinners, kings and paupers, have continued to keep this one commandment of the Lord, to do this in remembrance of me. It's one of the shining lights of the history, perhaps because we've known our hunger. We've known our need to be nourished by the Lord, to receive His life. If you look at Scripture, if you go through the Old Testament, what's the first ever meal that is mentioned? What's the first instance of someone eating in the Hebrew Scriptures? Down the back. You got to go down the back. Yeah, what is it? Yeah, exactly. So we're in Genesis 3, when Adam eats the apple. That's the first meal. And it's because of that meal, when God gave Adam and Eve access to the whole garden, to every fruit, everything there, except what one tree. And what's the tree that they eat from? That one tree, not an apple. We've got to stop. Yes, the fruit. Just the fruit. Doesn't tell us it's an apple. That's the first meal gone wrong. When the life of grace, when God offers freely to give, and Adam and Eve pluck. Adam and Eve take. Adam and Eve go against that desire of God to be in grace, to live in the fullness of life. And right throughout the Scriptures then, God is expressing again and again His desire to feed His people, to gather them, to share His life, to share the grace, and to remind them not to take, but to receive. Not to pluck, but to allow the Lord to feed us. And so it's no wonder that on the night before He died, the meal that He was celebrating is the meal of the Passover. Because the Passover is the very key to, again, that sense of covenant, that sense of God's desire to free, to offer Himself. And so on that night, which remembers the day back in Egypt, when God acted in a way to lead His people. And again, when we read the account in the book of Exodus, chapter 12 and 13, there we see that it wasn't just the Hebrews who came. They led with them a whole cacophony of people. Probably the best way to translate the Hebrew word that describes the kind of people that came out of Egypt that night, the kind of people that gathered to celebrate that Passover meal when the lamb was sacrificed, when the lamb was offered, when they gathered to share this festive meal, when they gathered to undo that choice of Adam and Eve, when they gathered to undo the choices that people had made right across the centuries. It wasn't just one kind of people, it was everyone who had a desire to be set free from slavery. Everyone who had a desire to be set free from that choice that marks them as grasping, as doing it themselves, doing it under their own steam and not letting the Lord feed them. And it was a motley crew, just a sign of every kind of person who joined in that meal, who allowed the Lord to feed them, to free them, to save them, and to lead them from there off into the desert and into the promised land. As the Lord continues to desire to lead us into the promised land, as He continues to desire to free us, to feed us, to provide for our hungers, to give us life, to give of His very self. And again, you have that beautiful image in Isaiah 25 of that holy mountain where the Lord will gather every nation, every people, every tribe into His kingdom and to share at the great banquet. And so it's no wonder in the ministry of Jesus that so often, particularly in Luke's gospel, but in the others as well, you see Jesus at table, Jesus as the host, Jesus who gathers people together to share a meal, to allow them to experience that fullness of God's grace, the fullness of His mercy, the fullness of life. And then at this final meal, on the night before He died, He again gathers His disciples. And as we again read in that account from Mark's Gospel, on the night when the Passover was eaten, when the lamb was sacrificed. So the whole context again is of that sacrifice. The whole context is of the lamb offering His life, the lamb being slaughtered, the blood of the lamb being poured out in order that the people would feast and eat. The lamb was always at the heart of a Passover meal. And yet when we get into the actual account of the Last Supper, there's no mention of the lamb. They talk about the bread. They talk about the wine, the cup that is offered. But the lamb is not mentioned. And yet the lamb is at the heart of the whole account. Why is that? Because the Lord is the lamb. Thanks, Joe. Yes. Jesus Himself is the lamb of sacrifice. Jesus Himself is the one who gives Himself for the disciples, for us. We get that even at the account of His birth in Bethlehem. In Luke's Gospel, of course, we remember that it says the child was wrapped in bands of cloth and laid in a manger. And a manger is what? A feeding trough. Not a crib, but a feeding trough. It's where the animals would go to eat. And so even at the first moment of His human life, Jesus points to the fact that He will be our food, that we will be the ones who share in His life by eating His flesh, by drinking His blood, by being cannibals. Because that is the great mystery of the life that is poured out for us, the great mystery of the Lord who needs to give His blood for us, who needs to give His body, these violent signs, not for God, not for the sake of a father who's grown angry and needs to be propitiated or something, but of a God who wants to demonstrate the degree to which He loves us, the depth that He will go to in order that we would understand, that we would get it through our thick skulls, that the Lord loves us and pours out His life for us, and He will do anything to undo that first sin. He will do anything to undo anything in us that continues to cling to our sins. Anything in us that continues to doubt the love that He has shown us. Anything that won't accept the sacrifice, the blood that is poured out. The Lord desires so deeply for us to gather at this table, to receive from the sacrifice of Christ, to allow His blood to be poured out for us, to wash us, to cleanse us, to nourish us, that we will know that this is an act of pure grace, that this is an act of sheer, utter gift. The Lord desires to feed us, to nourish us, to give us His life. All we need to do is say yes. All we need to do is refuse all of those sins that continue to cling to us, to celebrate the sacrament of reconciliation, to acknowledge our sin, to acknowledge that we need the mercy of the Lord, and to continue to hunger to be fed at the table, to gather, to worship, and to receive the divine life offered by the Father in Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the body.
And this is the blood broken and poured out for all of us. And in this communion we share in his love. This is the body. This is the blood.